So last week, I wasn't with you guys. I was at home feeling sorry for myself, not feeling too hot. But I was able to still connect with you guys. I was able to listen in to the service. Some of you may not know that we have these telephone connections that, for those who can't be with us here, can listen in. And so I was able to listen in, which was really cool. Couldn't hear the music, so all I could hear was Cam singing to me down the phone, which was beautiful. Being serenaded, and then also being able to hear the message. Now, you may not know this, but as co-pastors, Jen and I don't often share with each other in detail of what we're preaching on, because I know God speaks through my wife, and she knows that God speaks through me. If we're wrestling with something, being challenged on something, sure, we'll share. But I don't ask, okay, what's your manuscript? What are you going through line by line? And she didn't ask the same for me. So all that to say is, last Sunday, I didn't know what Jen was bringing. And I was really struck by this message of Mary. And when she started preaching on Mary, I was like, wow, it's difficult enough preaching on that at Christmas, trying to find new angles. So fair play doing that in the summer as well. But as we looked at Mary as the servant of God, someone in a very uncomfortable position, willingly saying, God, I'm your servant. I'll answer that call. That call that you've put on my life, I'll answer. I am yours. And that charge to us, encouragement to us to look in our hearts and go, what's the call? What's the challenge? What has God put on you? Are we willing to answer like Mary did? Are we willing to say, God, here I am? Even though that will be really uncomfortable, even though that's out of my comfort zone, I am willing to do that, to be filled by you, the great comforter, willing to be your servant. And I really see it, God putting on us as a church a theme of being uncomfortable. Of the last few weeks in our sermons, unintentionally on our part, but very much intentional of God, has been a theme of being willing to be uncomfortable. A few weeks ago, I preached on Paul, a guy who had faced persecution, chased all around, faced death for his faith, but willingly, he knew what he was getting himself into, willingly persecuted for the glory of God. A couple weeks ago, he had Teen Challenge. These young men who were in messed up lives, willingly put themselves in isolation, pretty much, an uncomfortable situation for freedom. Last week, looking at Mary, a very uncomfortable situation, but saying, God, I'm willing. And even as I look back prior to that, there just seems to be a theme of, are we willing to be uncomfortable? And so I want us to keep that in mind this morning as we look at today's sermon, with this theme of being uncomfortable. Are we willing to be uncomfortable? Because I believe, church, God has given us a call. Are we ready to be uncomfortable for the glory of God? Are we willing to say yes? But more so, are we willing to follow that up? It's one thing saying yes, oh yeah, sure, I'll do whatever, God. But it's separate when he's laying something on your heart for you to go, oh, you mean that? Oh, I didn't mean you were meaning that. So as we move on this morning in this sermon, keep that in your minds. What is God calling us to? What is uncomfortable? Where is he leading us? As we move on from Mary to a guy called John the Baptist. Here's a guy who was pretty uncomfortable. I'm pretty sure the people who encountered him felt that was a pretty uncomfortable conversation to have when someone calls you a brood of vipers. I won't probably say the modern translation of what a brood of viper is today, but it's pretty low. I'm going to read in Luke's account of John, just three verses. Luke's account isn't the biggest account on John. You can read in Matthew more. But in chapter 3 of Luke, of these three verses we're looking at, And the first verse is basically me just trying to get through a few names that I'm going to butcher, but I'm going to get through it. Chapter 3. It's now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler over Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. There you go. John the Baptist. Now, on Canada Day, I asked you to speak with those next to you of what you love about Canada. What I'm going to ask you now for 30 seconds is to those next to you, who's John the Baptist? Remind yourselves who he was, what he did of John the Baptist. If you're an introvert and hate that kind of thing, close your eyes, pretend you're praying, and just people will skip past you. It's fine. But even on your own, quickly think, okay, even if you're not a churchgoer, John the Baptist should be someone you've probably heard of. So, just the people next to you or whatever, think of John the Baptist. 30 seconds. Go for it. Okay. That'll do. So, not such a difficult one. I mean, John the Baptist is a kind of a well-known guy in the Bible. Did you get prepare the way? I heard that down here in prepare the way. Good. How did he die? Sound effect as well. Bonus point. Beheaded. But even when beheaded, he died fighting injustice. There was injustice going on in the palace with Herod and Herodias. He was willing to stand up and say, what you are doing is wrong, even knowing that was going to lead most likely to death. So he fought injustice. Baptized Jesus. Most likely would have witnessed the Holy Spirit descend on Christ. I mean, wow, right there. What did he eat? Locusts and honey. Quite the feast. Beautiful, huh? He also had disciples, right? And disciples that went on to be Jesus' disciples. I think it's fair enough to say John the Baptist was a big deal. I mean, let's face it, when we talk baptism, if we're preaching on baptism, which, as I mentioned, it is a call for us as Christians to believe and be baptized, this great symbolic moment where we go under the water to say we are dead to the old and alive in Christ. We live in that resurrection, freedom in him. Baptism is a beautiful thing, and we need to be doing more of that. But when we preach on baptism, we end up talking of John the Baptist. We talk about when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He's a big deal. He's a big guy in the Bible. But yet, when we read here in verse 2, this is where we find him. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At that time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Here's this great guy in the Bible in the wilderness. Now, I want to focus on the wilderness this morning. Because when I think of wilderness, you don't think of positive connotations. Roaming around. Isolated, lonely, pretty scary. I mean, the wilderness in Judea wouldn't have been a pretty place. There would be many enemies, both human and of the animal variety. It would have been survival. There would have been dangers. I mean, when we think of wilderness in the Bible, I don't know about you, but I jump to Moses and the Israelites, 40 years roaming around the wilderness. That wasn't positive. Many died in those 40 years. It should not have taken 40 years to get from one point to the other, but it did. Wilderness most often is not a positive experience. John didn't have a watch. He didn't have a time frame of, oh, that's all right, I'm only in the wilderness for this amount of time, and then I'm going to do some pretty awesome stuff. He would have just been day by day in that wilderness, not knowing when that's going to come to an end. You see, many of us here today, maybe metaphorically, are in some sort of wilderness. The thoughts of being lonely, roaming around, trying to find direction. Maybe life at the moment is scary, difficult. You maybe face dangers of various kinds. Maybe that's in life. You've just finished school. You've just retired. You're looking at what's next. What's the next path? Spiritually speaking, you may be in that wilderness that you've always tried to be searching, but you just seem to be roaming. You've not found that answer. You've maybe not found that purpose. You see, with John in the desert, this was his moment to grow. This is where God had led him to be prepared to prepare. This is where he learned perseverance. This is where he learned courage. This is where he learned strength and endurance. That time in the wilderness was an essential time for John to grow, to root himself to God, to know God's will, to hear God's will. If you feel you're in that place, you do have a purpose. You do have a role. And that role is to focus on God. That role may be to get back to basics. Maybe in that free time that you might have during the day to go, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, maybe your role, in fact, your role is to get to know your Savior. Get into the Word. Spend time just in prayer. You know, I could spend hours just writing on a whiteboard. You know, I might go, okay, today is going to be my planning day, my dreaming day. I love those days. And it happened quite often. I love to dream. But you know, I could be wandering around. If it's just for me doing ideas, I could be going around in circles. And it could be quite frustrating. But you know, when I stop and when I just go, do you know what? I just want to pray right now. I just want to be silent. I just want to be still. More often than not, that's when those doors fling open. That's when God speaks. It's in those rooting moments. And so if you're in that time frame, whatever that might look like for you, cry out to God. Cry out to him. Wait upon him. Allow this to be your preparation moment. Allow this to be your time of being filled by him, ready to do his will. Answers came in the wilderness. If you think of Moses, he went off to Sinai, Mount Sinai. Answers came in the wilderness. If you think of Jesus, he sought the wilderness. He would go off on his own into the mountains to spend time with God. Because here's the thing about the wilderness. We think of it as a negative, but actually, there's a real positive. There's no distractions. There's less distractions, should I say. You may be in a hustle and bustle of life. And some of you are trying to flee from a wilderness experience. But some of you, I'd say, need to go into a wilderness experience. Because we fill our lives with junk. Things that we probably shouldn't be doing. And we just call it life. And you may have practical things you're doing. But you're just so busy, you're not able to spend time with God at all. You're not able to find that direction. I would say some of us need to go into that wilderness. You need to find time, make time to be with God. And that's not comfortable because you probably have to give up something that you've been doing for maybe many years to make that time. It's down to desire. It's saying, is this what I want? Do I really want to grow in my relationship with Jesus? I hope so. The life-changing point for me was when I was in Uganda. that came when I finished school. I had no direction, no idea where I was going. And so I went to Uganda to just fill 3 months, literally. It was, well, I don't have anything else to do 3 months. My auntie's a missionary out there. I'm going to go out there. And so I lived in a little hut next to hers. No distractions, no TV, no internet. I tell you, I grew so much in my faith because all I had was me and my Bible. And I would just be going through and just soaking in scripture. And I had time to pray and just walking, you know, outside, just going for walks. I was much braver back then. I don't know, 10 years ago, I remember, you know, it was outside toilets, not obviously inside toilets like here. And I remember sitting on the toilet, not to get too graphic for you, but, you know, that's part of life, on the toilet, and rats running between my legs. And I was okay with it. I remember feeling, now, like, I was putting the garbage out the other day, and a mouse came out. I screamed. And he's not here today, but Ryan Novak was coming around. I waited to Ryan to come and say, hey, Ryan, can you help me with this garbage? And I'm like, it's really heavy. And so he's carrying it, and I made sure he carried the one that I knew the mouse was in. So I was seriously, I was butch back then. I don't know what happened. But that time, I found it such a moment just to grow in my relationship with Christ. And so I'd encourage you in the busyness to find time. You may not have to go to Uganda for 3 months, but maybe it's not going on the internet so much. Maybe it's actually going, I'm going to prioritize this evening for prayer. It was when I was in Uganda, that's where I felt called to be a pastor. It's no surprise that it's when I gave that time to God that he opened paths. He opened doors. I think as a church, we need to spend some time in the wilderness. We need to spend time waiting on God. Too often we look at what's a healthy church and we look at programs. I believe a healthy church is one that's waiting on God. And we need to be willing to do that. And that's not always comfortable because he calls us to do things that's not in our comfort zone. Great things happen in the wilderness. The next chapter in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, filled by the Holy Spirit, is sent into the wilderness. 40 days without food, and then it says he became hungry. I'm pretty sure 4 hours, I'm hungry. In fact, I'm starting to feel it already after about 3 hours. 40 days, Scripture says, and Jesus became hungry. He's fully human. He felt that hunger. Tempted, or Satan tried to tempt him. The second Adam. First Adam, Satan got pretty good. He tempted him pretty easily. He fell pretty quickly. What's going to happen to the second one? Well, he stood pretty strong. He rebuked him. He stood firm. He is the Messiah. Greatness happened in the wilderness. And I believe that can happen too. If you're in that space going, why? I feel alone. I feel I'm roaming. I feel in life that I'm lacking direction. Cry out to God. I believe greatness can happen in the wilderness. And for those who need sent, go. Make that time. As pastors, as we feel in this sense of God calling us to be uncomfortable, we want to help you be uncomfortable. Kind of think it's a weird thing to say, right? If I can do one thing, I want to make you uncomfortable. That's not one thing to say on a date, by the way. But as a church, we want to make you uncomfortable. Here's how. It's come September. Is we want to be bringing once a month from September on a Sunday, is be asking different people to share a testimony. We did that a couple times so far. We've had Dawn share. We've had Devin share. Have we had someone else share? Jeffrey. We had Jeffrey share. We need to do more of that. And so once a month, on a Sunday morning, we're going to ask different people, and not just those who we know are good up on stage and will enjoy that. Because here's the thing. One of the most blessed moments of our ministry here was, for me, one men's breakfast. And Manuel shared his testimony to all those guys. That was just one of the most beautiful moments of a man just being honest. He went through a journey sharing that. He grew in that experience sharing that. Preparing your testimony is a growing experience. Sharing it to your brothers and sisters is a growing experience. So that's just one way we want to make you uncomfortable to be blessed. And so if we ask you, please pray about it. Don't just say no, pray about it, because we've been praying about it. The other thing, come the start of September, the first week of September, we want to block off and we want to make that our prayer week, where each evening we're going to make the church available for people to come and pray. Not just we did last Sunday. Last year we did one Sunday of prayer before kickoff. This year we want to do a whole week. We want to say a week of prayer, either come in the daytime or in the evening. We'll give you more information. But we want to make you uncomfortable in the sense of you're going to have to give stuff up. We encourage you. On an evening, I know some of you drive far away, but you've called this place your home, to say that I'm willing to come to however many you can come to just pray with your brothers and sisters. Because we need to wait on God. We need to be a praying church. We have to be a praying church. Have to be. For change to happen, for growth within, for growth out there, wherever it means, we need to start with prayer. And so we're going to give that week of just praying, of allowing God to move. We really feel sense of God saying, you know, I'm calling you guys to be uncomfortable, to be blessed, to be filled with the Comforter. And we need to respond to that as a church. You see, John, he never received earthly riches. We don't finish his story by saying because he spent time in the wilderness, because he was persecuted, because he wore camel's clothing, because he wore he ate honey and stuff like that and locusts, he ended up really wealthy. God blessed him with that. That's our aim. No. He was beheaded. But you know what? God blessed him in mighty ways. He got to baptize the Messiah. Pretty awesome thing. He got to experience the Holy Spirit descend. Pretty awesome thing. But the greatest gift, and the gift that's for you and me, is when he was uncomfortable, he was not alone. He was filled by the great Comforter. He had God with him and in him every moment. And that's the promise for us. That even though we may be going through, and may God may lead us into a scene, a season of being uncomfortable as a church, to grow, to change, to be stronger. You may be already there as an individual. God is with you. Cry out to him. But then also, let's be praying for opportunities of wilderness. Praying for opportunities for more time spent with him. To grow in him. As greatness happens. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity just to come before you. We thank you for those like John who's gone before us, who prepared the way for you, but lived an example life of someone just willing to give their all. A desire of saying, you are real. You are the master. We are the servants. And Lord, we just want to say, here we are. Leaders, Father God. Directors, guiders. Lord, for those here this morning who feel in a wilderness and in a not a good sense, whether in their life, whether spiritually, wherever that might be, just feeling that roamingness, that maybe alone or scared. Father God, I pray we cry out to you, that we experience a God of comfort, a strength, to know that our Lord, our God, is with us, to know that you are mighty to save, to know that you take great delight in us, to know that we now are no longer a rebuke, but we have freedom and forgiveness in you. And you rejoice over us with singing. That's your word. Let us sink in, Father God. Let that sink in. For those in that place of wilderness alone, I pray, Father God, they know they've got a God who delights and loves in them so much. And that you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a direction, and it's in you. So help us get in you, Father God. Help us to focus on you. Help us to be sacrificial and jump into the wilderness for those who need to be there, to just be in your word, to be in your presence, Father God. Just to be alone without the distractions of world, without the distractions of life. Father, give us that encouragement. Lord, I pray if that spark in someone's heart, Lord, you just make that real. That if it's for them to just to make time, Lord God, just make that real, Father God. Make them that conviction of knowing this is from you. You are calling them, Father God. Lord, if someone's had a heart of being uncomfortable and serving in a way that we've just not done because we know it's out of our comfort zone, Father God, allow this to be the time that it's just sparked an ignition. That we are willing to be bold, willing to be brave, knowing we have a God that is with us and for us, going each and every way. You lead us. You lead us. And as a church, Father God, as we want to just stretch ourselves with sharing our testimonies, with praying, and Lord, that's not the end. We just want to be doing more for you as a response. I pray, Father God, that you just lead us. That we as a church grow stronger. We as a church growing you, root ourselves firmly in you. So we see that growth within. A desire to reach out to all that we come across, to this local community that you've planted us next to and in, Father God. Help us to reach out. Be bold, Father God. Jesus, we ask, our lives just be filled with you. For your glory, Jesus, allow us to be uncomfortable. We are willing to be uncomfortable, Father God, to be filled by you. What greater thing? There's no greater thing than to be filled by you. I thank you for those that have gone before us. I thank you for the saints that are here with us, Father God, that have led the way. Help us to follow, Father God, you, Jesus. We praise you. As I give a benediction, if we say it each time, but it's true that these altars are open for you to respond to God. Maybe that puts you in an uncomfortable position, but that's okay. To respond to him physically with a heart's desire of saying, Lord, I am here. But then there's also each other. Pray with each other. Journey with each other. If you are in that place of wilderness and it's not a good place, share it. You're not alone. You got God with you, but share it with each other. We want to journey with you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. In Jesus' name, be blessed.